Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode from the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today we have a very special guest, my man, Nate Kovach. Nate, pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you.
So, Nate, me and Nate actually went on a trip to New York City in D.C. 2 weeks ago. Thank you to John Carroll for that trip. It was a great experience, brought 12 students together. We're all very close. We're all great friends now, and it's truly formed like a family. So during that trip, me and Nate just happened to be walking around, and Nate's like, hey, I want to hop on the podcast. I was like, all right, bro, we have a spot for you. We have a spot for everyone. This year, my goal is to just interview as many people as I can, just push it all out. And within a week, we made this possible, found a time, and yeah, everything worked out. So I'm very excited to go over Nate's story with you guys, and it should be pretty good.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
So to give Nate a proper intro, he was all OAC first team in 2024, 2023 second team all OAC. Nate's been playing football at John Carroll for 5 years, and that offensive line was solid. One of our good friends, Matt Rather, shout out Matt, who's on the podcast. He was also one of the former linemen. So just a great group of guys, and I'm very excited to go over this. So, Nate, where did you grow up, and what was the sports culture like in your community?
Yeah, so I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, just right outside in Dublin. The sports culture was different. I mean, there was a lot of sports that were super competitive, and we were always in a big town, so there was a lot of, like, parents that would argue, and, like, you were really pushed. But I really liked it, and that's how I got into football, and I feel like my town really started me and got me to where I am today.
Yeah, so that's like, what, like 30 minutes outside of Columbus?
Yeah, 30 minutes right outside of Columbus.
Wow, so like growing up, were you a big OSU fan?
Yeah, I was a big OSU fan. Shout out them last night for winning Natty.
Yeah, crazy game.
Yeah, honestly, I was a huge OSU fan. And then as I got to school, I feel like since I played football, I never watched them enough.
Yeah.
So like I didn't ever pay attention enough to the point where I'm like, I'm a diehard fan like I was. But I still tried to like follow them and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, like I'm not like a diehard fan. Like I feel like in Cleveland, like you kind of get a mix of both. You get either they're really diehard fans, or you get like the I'm still gonna root for them because they're Ohio, but like I'm not like diehard. Like
I mean, some of the people in Columbus are wild for them. Like some of my friends are crazy diehards, and it's honestly to the point where it's like settled down.
Yeah, I have like a few friends up here that like that like live and breathe OSU.
Yeah, it's different there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So at what age did you first start playing football, and what made you fall in love with the game?
So I started playing football when I was in second grade, and right off the bat, I honestly didn't like it that much. When I was really young, my parents like tried pushing sports into my life, but I didn't really want to do it. I was like really big into like just like playing and not being competitive.
Yeah.
And then I tried football because my older brother played, and I liked it. But like I said, it probably didn't start being the sport that I could see myself playing in the future, like in college, until maybe like fourth or fifth grade, when I kind of hit a growth spurt and I was like a lot bigger than everyone. And I just started like being better. So I definitely liked it then. But like I said, early on, I was kind of like, oh, I'm just doing it to do it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's crazy that you like mentioned that, because throughout like my like basketball time, I think from the third grade to like the sixth grade, Like, I never really took it, like, serious. I was kind of just playing for fun. Like, yeah. I was more into, like, the, like, Legos, the,
that's exactly,
you know, like doing, like, a bunch of, like, stuff, like, outside of sports.
Exactly.
Like, focus on like, the cartoons. Yeah. And, like, I never really had, like, a big passion for it until, yeah, like, kind of, yeah, like, middle school.
Yeah, that's, I'm the same exact way. Like, my brother was always big into sports. And, like I said, I never really was growing up. He'd always be playing, like, Xbox and, like, playing, like, 2K and, Madden, and I would just like sit there and watch and just be like not interested. Yeah. And I would go like play the Wii or something and do something else.
Yeah, like me and my family, like, we always talk about, so during like our like travel basketball games, like there were games where like I would not play good and I would get yelled at home, and then I would like score like 16 or like 12, which is like pretty good. Yeah, for like
that's solid.
Like a third or fourth grader.
Yeah.
And then I go back to like my old ways, and the same thing would just happen over and over again. So, like, looking back on it, that's the one thing I was, like, I wish I would have took it more serious. But yeah. At the same time, it kind of developed, you know, that, like,
yeah,
creativeness, that innovation parts of my life for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so did you play any other sports, like, throughout your time as you were little?
Yeah, so I played a lot of different sports. I played soccer. Obviously, I feel like everybody played soccer.
Yeah, everyone played soccer.
Everybody. I played baseball. I played that in high school and up until like my sophomore year. I played travel ball as well when I was in like middle school. I played lacrosse for I think 4 years, which was like one of my favorite sports when I was younger. I wish I would have never stopped playing that. Let's see what else. And then I did track.
Okay.
In high school, I threw. So that's when I quit baseball and moved to that instead.
Wow. You know what? I feel like when I was little too, a lot of people like love like lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
But, like here in like Northeast Ohio, like there's not too many like programs. Was there a lot in like Columbus?
Oh yeah. Dublin is really good at lacrosse. I was lucky to play on the travel team for 2 years there in Dublin. And we were playing like some teams from like Upper Arlington, which is another really good school for lacrosse. My high school won the state championship. Let's see. My first year in high college, they won it, so my first year out, and then they also won it I think 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, so lacrosse was really big in my area, but like I said, I kind of dropped it for baseball, which I completely regret.
Yeah.
Completely regret.
Wow. So what position did you play when you first started in high school, and how did that evolve over like the years?
Yeah, so when I was a freshman, I played center actually.
Really?
And I played center my sophomore year as well. I actually hated it. I was so panicked about snapping the ball over the head, and I would just focus too much on that.
Yeah.
And like screw up on other tasks. But then my junior year, I hit a big growth spur. I was like probably 6 foot, 6'1" at the time. And then they moved me out to tackle, actually, because the other tackle was injured. I was a senior when I was a junior. So I didn't know if I was going to be the starter that year. Luckily, I ended up beating him out, and then he quit.
Wow.
yeah, that's how I started playing tackle.
Wow. So what was, like, you know, like your freshman year, like going into like your sophomore year and then junior year, like how did that, I guess, progress, like evolve?
In high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, so same thing. Like I kind of didn't really take it super serious when I was a freshman and sophomore. I like first just started lifting, and I was like, this sucks. Like I'm sore. So like I said, I wasn't really into it. And then once I like kind of got in that conversation, my junior year, being able to start on like varsity and actually like play meaningful reps, I kind of like was like, I kind of want to do this when I get into college, I think. So I really started putting in more effort and like training more. And I had like a few close friends that play with me, and they all quit. So it was kind of just me, and I made some really close friends that like weren't in my friend group from football. So that was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Wow. Yeah. That's how like I was like with my like best friends. Like I was one of the only ones that played basketball. So I was around like a whole different group.
Yeah.
However, like there was like 15 of like my best friends that played football. So like at the same time, like it was cool, like watching them from like the stands, but at times I was like, wow, I wish I was like down there with them. But
yeah, I definitely felt that. My friends would be screaming from the student section during my games, and I'd be like, that could be me.
But yeah. So can you share a moment from high school when you realized football could be like a serious path for you?
That's a good question. I want to say like my senior year, honestly, at the end of my career, we were in the second round of the playoffs. We just lost against Springfield, Ohio, and everybody lost like their minds and were like crying like crazy. And I was like upset, obviously, that we lost. but I wasn't to the point where I needed to like break down and cry and hug everybody like my teammates did. And that's when I kind of knew, I was like, you know, that's, I'm feeling like this because I'm going to play again. Right. I was like, I know this isn't my last game. And even then, like, I applied to other schools to go to for like regular school. Like, I wasn't set on football then even, but I, like I said, I was, had this feeling in my gut that that wasn't my last game I was going to play, and I wanted to keep moving forward and go on into college. So that was actually what sparked it all.
Wow. So did you play any like big time athletes like throughout your time?
Yeah. Probably the biggest athlete I played was Jack Sawyer.
Really?
Yeah. I played him my junior year, and he was a sophomore at the time. I knew going into the game that he was like a big time recruit. I think he had pretty much an offer from everywhere at that time, except like Alabama and like some SEC schools. But I know he had Ohio State. I know he had like Notre Dame, and like pretty much every Big Ten school.
Wow.
So like I was going into that freaking out. It was only my second start of all time.
Wow.
And yeah, I think he had like 3 sacks on me.
No way.
He was good.
Jeez. Wow. Were there any other like players that kind of like stood out?
So there was a lot of, we put a lot of teams that like had kids that went to the Big Ten or like MAC, but never really like ended up being like Jack Sawyer, where now he's probably going to be somewhere drafted. I'm trying to think of some other names or like in general. I mean, I guess I played against Navy's quarterback. I can't think of his name, but you know, he was a good quarterback and stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody crazy like Jack Sawyer, I guess.
Wow. So like, what was like the competition like down in Columbus, like compared to like Northeast, like Ohio? Cause I feel like Northeast Ohio, like just like being a part of it, just like, you know, just watching my whole life. Yeah. Like it's pretty tough.
Yeah. I mean, I never really played any Northeast Ohio teams, but I know the competition is probably a lot better. I mean, you got like Eds, Ignatius, Hoban, all of those teams that are Walsh, that are crazy good. And Columbus really didn't have a lot of competition. We had like the Pickeringtons that were always good. That's where Jack Sawyer went to Pickerington North. You know, we had like Olentangy Liberty where Matt Rather went, but we played them my sophomore year, but I didn't really play in the game because I didn't play on varsity. But I think the competition in Cleveland's probably a lot better than Columbus.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was the recruiting process like for you, and were there any colleges you considered like before choosing John Carroll?
Yeah, so I considered my top three right before I committed to John Carroll were Mount Union, Valpo, which is like a small Division I school, and then here. And my recruiting process was like really heavy when I was a junior, because like I just grew and I played for my first year and I had solid film, and then like my senior year kind of fell off a little bit simply because I didn't like do much better than my junior year, and I was still like the same height and weight, so nothing really changed.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Wow. So did you go on like a tour at Valpo, or was it all like online?
I did a full official visit. It was really cool. The campus was actually really nice. It was really big and like spread out. It really felt like a big school. And actually one of the crazy things was their recruiting pitch like almost got me completely. Like I walked into the locker room and they had like a table like this laid out with like a bunch of different clothes and stuff. And they're like, this is what you're going to get like day one when you walk in. And I was like, oh, this is sick. Like, I'm going Division I. Like,
wow.
But yeah, I ended up going with John Carroll, and I think it was the right choice.
Yeah. Why JCU?
I don't really know. I just had this feeling that it was, I mean, I knew it had a good business school. I knew it had like a solid football program at the time. I really didn't know a ton about it when I like first talked to him. And I liked Cleveland. I was always a Cleveland sports fan.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of could see myself coming up here, and I definitely wanted to get away from Columbus, but not be like so far to the point like Valpo where I would have to like fly home. Like it was like a 7-hour drive.
Yeah.
Which is like, I can't like go drive home for 7 hours, like every few weeks. Like that's like a once in a while, like John Carroll, I can go back and forth if I want to in a weekend. So, yeah.
Wow. Crazy. So, what was it like playing in your first college football game here at John Carroll, and how did you feel in that moment?
Trying to think. I think my first ever college football game I played in at John Carroll, that was like varsity,
Yeah.
was my sophomore year against Mount Union, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so we had a special package where me and Matt Rather would go in as extra linemen, and we actually started the game in this package. So me and Rather got the start, and I just remember having a ton of adrenaline. Just because it was like Mount, and we talked about them all week, how they're like this crazy good team, but like we can beat them. But I just remember being out there, like my heart was racing, and I was like, I like drilled the guy and was like talking smack, like right off the bat, even though I was just like a young kid in this first ever play. So,
Wow, now was that kid like a senior or like junior?
I honestly think he was the same age as me because I think I ended up playing him another 2 years.
Oh,
But I always talked a lot of smack,
wow.
which was kind of bad. And at times.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
My coaches definitely gave me a hard time for it.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, like when you're in like the moment and then you make like a play like that, I mean,
There's no better feeling.
You have to.
Yeah, you have to do it.
Wow. So, what was it like that process throughout your freshman year all the way out to like your senior year?
I think freshman year was really tough. I think sophomore year was also really tough, simply because those are your first 2 years away from home, and then like you're starting college, starting a weightlifting program that's incredibly different from like what you did in high school. You're looking at a playbook that's like crazy hard compared to high school. The game's much quicker. You're practicing in the mornings or at night, and you're doing like a lift in the same day. So you got two type or like two practices a day, and then you have school on top of that. And I struggled with that big time when I was younger, and I also struggled with like finding a good friend group right off the bat, which
Yeah.
also hurt, I think. But that made that really hard. And then I feel like as I got out of that in my sophomore year, I like got into a slump my junior year of like just getting reamed at practice all the time, like screamed at, simply because I mean my coach put a hard like gave me a hard time because he wanted to see me succeed. That's what he told me. But
Right.
that took a major toll on me. And then my senior year, we got this new coaching staff. I was definitely like kind of disappointed at first because it was like my third coach in 3 years, and I
Yeah.
was like, what's the point of this? Like, this sucks. But it ended up paying off, and I am probably like best like my coach that I had this past season and the season before my senior year was like my favorite coach I've had of all time.
Wow.
And like it just all happened perfectly, and I can see him being in my life for for a while, like always reaching out, and he's just a great guy. So I'm glad that happened. And my senior year went pretty well. My fifth year went really well. So it was all really good. It all just kind of like gradually got better over time.
Yeah, I mean, like having three coaches like in 3 years
Yeah.
at least is tough.
Yeah, it was really tough.
And like it's hard too because you build that like relationship with the coach and then they leave,
Yeah.
and it's like okay, well now I have to do the same thing over and over again.
Exactly.
It's just like a lot, and especially that takes a lot on you and like the team as well because you're just adapting to a whole new like environment.
Yeah. And I think John Carroll did a good job of bringing in Coach Behrman and like Coach James, Like they brought in guys that knew our situation and they quickly adapted and really got to know us right off the bat super quick. And I think that's why, you know, those 2 years were pretty successful.
Yeah, I mean, like, which is good too, because you want coaches that want interest in you. Like, they're not just there for the job. Like, you want a coach that's, you know, going to be like a mentor or someone, someone that wants to see you win. Whereas, you know, someone's there just to get paid or
kind of
move up to like the next level.
And I think the best part about our coaches are they were really pushing us in practice and like yelling at us, obviously, and like screaming and doing whatever. But the moment you stepped off that field, like something clicked and like it's like nothing happened. And they can still have a conversation with you and like joke with you and you kind of drop it. So like that was like the best part and my favorite part about this coaching staff is everything was left on the field. And as soon as you walked into the locker room or walked into their office, they didn't care about what happened at practice. Like, it's over. So I really like that a lot.
Wow. Like, and that's awesome, too, that, like, you know, you could proudly say, like, yeah, like, I could see him in, like, my life for, like, a long time. Like, even after football. Mm-hmm. Because once, like, you know, sports is kind of just like a game. But, you know, those relationships that you make within them are truly very important.
Yeah, I mean, he was just texting me last night, too.
Like, wow.
Still after the season. Like I said, I could see him, you know, coming to my wedding, like that type of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how would you describe your experience as a student athlete throughout your years at JCU? And especially being an accounting major. I mean, accounting is definitely not an easy major. Mm-hmm. Definitely takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to put into, you know, studying, homework, all of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely struggled at times with accounting and like school, especially when I was younger. Like I said, school when I was younger, I really struggled with. I was like a year ahead, which kind of hurt me. Like I kind of got put into accounting my freshman year, which you're not supposed to. I don't know. Did you?
They tried to force us.
That's nice.
But you had the option of like, you know, taking it sophomore year, which a lot of us did. A lot of us waited until sophomore year to take it, so we can kind of like adapt to like the easier courses or like the intro level courses. But I know with like the class behind me, they started like their freshman year.
Yeah, so that's how it was supposed to be. Like, I thought we were supposed to be given the option, but for some reason, my advisor put me in my freshman year, and I think there was like four other freshmen, so I didn't know anybody, which was really tough. And like, I feel like with accounting, like if you know somebody, you can like work together really easily. So I didn't really start like figuring like out who was in my classes and like who I could get to know until like late in my sophomore year. That's why I made it so tough, because like you need like a study person, like somebody that's probably smarter than you that can like help you out instead of going right to the teacher every time. So like once I found that into my junior year and like senior year, I was okay. But like early on was crazy tough.
Yeah, especially with like those like intro like level courses too. Like it's hard because you don't really know who's going to stay in accounting, because a lot of people switch like last minute.
Yeah,
and then like, you know, once you hit like your like, you know, advanced classes, then like you kind of have like your group and you kind of know who like to like study with.
Yeah, definitely.
Like my friend group since freshman year, like I already knew they were going into accounting, so it was nice because we stayed together like throughout all these years and we just kept on like adding on to like our study groups, which helped.
That's it. That's honestly like so perfect. Like my best friends from school, none of them were accounting majors and none of them like understood why I was grinding so hard, and they'd be like, why are you always studying and like doing all this homework? I'm like, dude, this is hard. Like I gotta grind.
Yeah, like my best friends from high school, they like they always tell me like, dude, like you're just putting cash in like the cash register and like basic like stuff like that. I'm like, but then my John Carroll friends are like, yeah, like we understand like why you're like studying so much.
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah, they're like, dude, like why don't you go on Xbox anymore? I'm like, dude, like I have to finish this homework and then after. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But so what motivated you to return for your fifth year and pursue your MBA while continuing to play football?
So first I had to do the MBA. Well, I didn't have to do the MBA, but a strong, you know, push to do the MBA was because of the 150 credit hours for the CPA. It was either, I think I had like 130, so I was only 20 short.
Yeah.
But I didn't really want to like pick up a bunch of classes and do that. And I thought to myself, why not just do an MBA, and I also could play another year of football. Early on, I didn't want to do another year of football because I was kind of just over it, and like my body was pretty beat up. But then I was like, if I don't do this now, I could definitely regret it in like 10 years and be like, what if?
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I'm going to do football, I'll do the MBA. And I'm glad I did it. It all paid off. It all worked out. I had a good fifth year season. It was really fun. And I'm getting an MBA on top of that. So it all paid out or all worked out. And I just really had to like take a minute at the end of my senior year to think like, is this really what I want to do? Because I mean, I'm putting a lot of money into the NBA and a lot of time into football. So I don't know. I like it and it all worked out. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, which is awesome. And two, like you guys had a great year this mm-hmm. year. I mean, you guys made the playoffs like for the first time in what, like 4 or 5 years?
Yeah. It was a long, I think it was since like 2018 or 20. Wow. Yeah. 2018.
Which is crazy. That's like 7 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and also too, I mean, there was an article that I found actually where I think it was in 2023 where like the whole offensive line got like awarded like mm-hmm. OAC players of like the week.
Yeah.
Which is like sweet too, because you know, you can kind of have that brotherhood for like the rest yeah. of like your life as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The offensive linemen are like, they're like my family when I was at school. They were like the guys I was with around all the time. And like, if I ever needed to go to somebody, I could go to one of them. And that was honestly the best part about football and like being away from home. Like it was kind of like my home away from home, and they were always there for me. Same with like my coaches. Like I could shoot them a text anytime and they would, you know, help me out with whatever. So that was one of the best parts about football is the bond you have and stuff.
Yeah, true. So what do you enjoy most about playing left tackle, and what makes the position so unique or challenging?
I like playing left tackle a lot because you're kind of on like an island by yourself, like a one-on-one pass rush.
Yeah.
And it's always like known that like defensive ends are like some of the best athletes on the defense. So I always like that feeling of like I have the best, like maybe the best person over me, and like it's on me to like block him. Otherwise, the QB's going to get hit in his blind side being on the left side. So that was my favorite part of it. And I loved like the adrenaline rush of like, okay, maybe not for every player because, you know, every player wasn't crazy, like, talented and good. But, like, certain players that I would go against, maybe somebody from Mount or, you know, somebody from BW who had solid defensive ends all 4 years, I would get that, like, quick heartbeat when I would find out it's a pass. And, like, I know, you know, the slide's set the other way, so I know I'm one-on-one. And I just, like, love the feeling of, like, all right, this is make or break. Like, you either block him and he gets the pass off, or you mess up and there's a sack.
Yeah, I mean, which is awesome, too, because it's almost like you're, like, taking on, like, that responsibility, like, that, like, not many people, like, you know, would take that opportunity, but, I mean, big props to you for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. It was, like, my favorite.
Yeah, because it's like, all right, well, then if the QB gets sacked, then it's, you know.
It's on you.
Yeah, yeah, it's on you, but you're like, all right, I'll take on that pressure.
Yeah, yeah. Sacks were the worst. It sucked giving up a sack. I didn't give up many. I'll give you that.
All right.
It hurt when you let up a sack.
Yeah.
And you heard it from the coaches too.
Yeah, for sure. So, obviously you were named to the All OAC first team in 2024. So what does that mean to you, and how does it reflect your journey and effort on the field?
Yeah, so I mean, honestly I was pretty shocked when I heard about it. I didn't expect to get first team. I got a concussion week 5, I want to say, and missed 2 games, which I thought kind of ruined all of my chances.
Wow.
But I ended up getting it and I was super happy with it. I mean, I got second team the year before, which, you know, that I was pretty happy with that. I mean, anytime you're getting recognized is always a good thing, but, getting first team was really cool. And I think the other cool thing was we had Matt Rather get first team. We had Graham Myers get first team. We had Luke Gibbons get first team. So, I mean, pretty much the whole offensive line was on that first team, which was really cool because not only did I get it, but my rest of my brothers got it, and that was like the best part of it.
Wow, which is sweet. So like, did you guys have like an award ceremony for it?
We actually have not. We have a senior banquet next week, so maybe something happens there, but as of now, nothing.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Wow. So what was your pregame routine like? I've asked like a lot of people. Wow. Usually every like interviewee that I've had, you know, what their pregame like song is.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do before games? So tell me a little bit like about that.
Yeah, so I was very superstitious, like, in everything. Even before practices, I was superstitious. But let's say for games, I would wear, well, we can start from right in the morning. So we would wake up if it was a home game. We would go to mass in the morning. We would eat breakfast. I would eat the same thing for breakfast every time. I would only eat, like, carbs. So, like, a bagel, potatoes, and maybe some fruit. and I would be starving by the time the game started. But like, I just would eat no more, no less. And then I would go back home. We would have to be back in the stadium in like an hour. I would actually go back home, and probably it's around 10 o'clock at this time, and I would nap for like 30 minutes, just a quick 30 minutes, nothing more, nothing less. And I would fall right to sleep every time. And I would wake up, drink an energy drink on my way to the stadium. And then as I got to the stadium, I would never go out to the field. I would just sit in the locker room.
Really?
Listen to music. I would only take – I would take four ibuprofen after I came in from the warm-up.
Wow.
Like, I was really superstitious.
Wow. Yeah. So it was four, like, every time?
Every time it was four, yep.
Wow. So did you have any, like go-to songs or songs that you had to, like leave off on?
I mean, I liked – I kind of listened to – it was obviously always rap. That was, like, the number one. But it kind of, like, branched everywhere from week to week, like, what I was feeling, like, out through – like, maybe during the week I had, like, a certain song I would listen to a lot, so I'd listen to that for the game. But nothing like, super repetitive, just, like, all rap.
Wow, which is crazy because, like Matt, for example, I know, like, in his podcast he said he was just very, like, calm, like
– Yeah, he was super calm.
Like he would, like, listen, like, to, like – I don't know if it was any music at all, yeah. But like he had no superstitions, just get right into it. But I mean, I'm like I was like the same way as you.
Yeah.
I had to have like my certain meals right.
Yeah.
Always had to have, you know, like certain songs I had to leave off on or else, you know, had to do like I had to like meditate before games, whole routine or else I was like, oh yeah. It's done.
Yeah. I mean, there was one game this year I like woke up. And normally I would put my contacts in right before I wake up. And for some odd reason, I didn't this day.
Yeah.
And like I got to the stadium and I was fine. And I was like, man, my vision is blurry. And I thought like, didn't think of anything that I didn't put my contacts in. I can like see, but like it's noticeably different. Like
right.
Far vision or whatever. And then I'm sitting in our pregame meeting and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I don't have my contacts in. Like, and then I was like, before the game, I was, like, freaking out because, like, it was my superstitions, and I was like, I'm not going to play good, but I ended up playing fine. But
yeah.
Those are, like, that's how, like, superstitious I was. If just, like, one little thing was off, I would be, like, freaking out.
Right, and then, like, it takes that, like, one game, like, to, like, you realize you're, like you don't do something, and then you end up playing well. You're, like, it's, still, like, the same result, but it's not, like, the same, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So what legacy do you hope to leave behind at JCU, both as a player and as a student?
Yeah, first as a player, I think I kind of just wanted to leave behind, like, the energy guy. And, like, I was always, like, running around, like, screaming and, like, trying to get people pumped up, whether it was in the weight room or on the field. And I always was, like, there to lift no matter what, even if I wasn't, like, feeling good. And I would always, like, push myself. So I'm hoping, like, some of the younger guys saw that. And I know, like, a few of the other tackles like Troy Murkowski and Graham Myers, they always, you know, said they would look up to me and stuff. And like, I respected them. And those two kids like became my brothers. Cause I mean, we played the same position and all rotated together. And then when it comes to school, I just hope I don't know. I feel like I did a lot with football and not a ton with school, which like isn't the best. You know, I got really close with Dr. Petzl, and, you know, maybe I can show to other students or let other students know, like, no matter if it's a professor, it doesn't matter. You can still get close to somebody and like still form some type of relationship.
Yeah. And like, I mean, like here at like a smaller school, like it's definitely like, you know, it's nice because you get that face-to-face interaction with your professor.
Yeah.
Kind of talk to them about, you know, what's going on in the classroom. Like if you have any questions for help, and it kind of forms that bond. And I feel like that's the one thing that's very special about, like, small D3 schools is you really get that, you know, like, I guess, time with your professors.
Yeah, I think that's what separates D3 from others. You're getting, like, a solid education while knowing your professor and getting to know them, and then also you get to play the sport that you love.
Right. So we do this at the end of every episode. I didn't send you this because I've been doing it more recent.
Okay.
So we do a segment called Quote of the Episode. So pretty much what I'll do, I'll say, like, quote from like a famous athlete or coach, and then you'll just talk about what the quote means to you, and then you'll tell the audience a quote that you live by every single day.
Gotcha.
So this one, I tried to find an offensive lineman quote, but it was very hard.
Yeah.
Especially for like left tackles.
Yeah, I bet.
But I found this off Pinterest, which is sweet because I always I think about this when I think of like an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. So it says, if everyone could be like an offensive lineman, they don't need any attention, spotlight, or name in the paper. Success requires five working as one. All they worry about is doing their job well, and the sole purpose of their job is to make others succeed.
Yeah. Wow. I really like that. And I want to say I've heard that before, maybe, but I don't know. That's like you just hit the nail with the hammer. I mean, like, that is what it's about being an offensive lineman. You're never touching the ball. You're really never getting any fame or love. And then, I mean, it's as an offensive lineman, you kind of just accepted that as you started. And, like, a lot of times the coaches would really, you know, fire us up and be like, you guys are the reason why we're doing so well on offense. I know a lot of times when I would come off the field, one of my receivers coaches would be like, that was because of you. That was because of the O-line. So I completely agree with that. But, yeah, I mean, I love that quote.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's so true. Like, even, like, watching, like football games, like, when I was little, I only focused on, like, you know, like, the main playmakers.
Exactly, yeah.
But as you get older, like, you see, like, when the offensive line is, like, not doing their job. 100%. You see everything, even, like, the D-line. Like, you see, like, special teams. Like, mm-hmm. You see how important, like, the whole game is.
And yeah.
It's I mean, you see it with the NFL. I mean, all the good teams have good offensive linemen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's needed for an offense to be successful. And it's needed if you want to have, like, a good quarterback and stuff. And if he wants to have time to, like, throw an accurate ball. So, yeah.
Yeah. So what quote do you live by every single day?
That's a great question. Let me think for a second. I really got to think. Honestly, this is a quote by one of our coaches. Some people might laugh at me for it, especially football guys. But it was – I'm not going to say the name of the coach, but the quote was like, you can and you will. I live by that all the time. Like when stuff gets hard – I honestly just put that in my head, like, you can and you will, and I end up getting through it. It's honestly just about pushing yourself and, like, realizing, like, I can do this no matter what if it's hard. And I still use that. I used it in school. I used it lifting, football games, conditioning when it was really tough. Now that I'm not playing anymore, like, when I lift – on my own, or like when I'm running and I'm like dying because I'm trying to like cut down on weight and I'm trying to run more, and I'm like, I got like a mile left and I was like, I could stop, but I'm not. And I would be like, I can do it. Like, you can and you will. And I think that's something that will live with me forever, especially now, like studying for the CPA. I like so stressed at times and like stressing out over like, there's so much material, how the heck am I gonna do this? Like, but I just like think in my head, you can and you will. So that is definitely one quote that I love and live by every day. So,
wow. Well, yeah. Hey, what a great way to end the podcast. That'll do it, everyone. Thank you very much, Nate. Thank you again, brother, for hopping on the pod.
Yeah,
awesome. It was awesome. It was a great episode. Make sure you all like, follow, share, send it to friends and family. I'm very excited. We have a lot of stuff planned, a lot of special guests hopping on this show. My goal is to just post content every single week, and That's my goal for 2025. Every single week, not missing anything, just to get episodes out ahead of time. But Nate, thank you again for hopping on today, and I'm very grateful for that trip because it definitely made it all of us closer and definitely. Stuff.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, that'll do it. We'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.
See you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.